Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Vincent G. from San Diego.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vincent, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm really grateful for having the opportunity to speak because it forced me to open up my book and get back in it. And every time I get the chance to speak, that's exactly what I do. I turn right to my book because I only want to stand here to tell you what that book showed me and share my experience and how it affected me. So thank you, Larry and Damian, for setting me up to speak here tonight. Congratulations to the birthdays. Really great to see. I took my one-year token from my mom, who's also a member of Alcoholics. So I love seeing the families that are able to do this together and speak the same language. It helps when I got some issues going on. I can call my mom. She knows what's up. And welcome to the newcomers. I'm really glad you're here, and I hope you keep coming back and you're able to get from this program what I've gotten and what so many of us have gotten. It's incredible. You know, alcohol made me indestructible. It really did. I remember the first time that I was drunk. I was about 7th or 8th grade, one of those two, and I was at a girl's house for my class, and a friend of mine, my best friend, of course, challenged me $20 to chug a half a pint of Johnny Walker Red. Never forget it. $20 is a lot of money. So I took that bet, and I drank that Johnny Walker. 10 minutes later, I was throwing up in the driveway, blacked out. Four friends dragged me a mile and a half home, and that best friend laid me in my sister's bed with a bucket and took off because he didn't want to be there when my mom got home. And I woke up the next day, and you'd think that I would have been sick and said, I'll never do that again. But I didn't. I woke up, and I felt like garbage. But I thought, when can I do that again? And that's the first memory that I have of what alcohol did to me. And I pursued that for 20 years. 20 years, alcohol made me indestructible. I was a good student in school. I played sports. I got by. And I made it through high school and college relatively unscathed. A broken tooth and hit by a car, but nothing major. Nothing that I couldn't recover from. I just wasn't afraid. I really wasn't afraid. I drank when I was younger, you know, relatively consistently, wine coolers, whatever I could stomach, you know, at first. But whatever it was that could give me that buzz that I was chasing. And progressively it got worse, naturally. And made my way through college when everybody's doing it, so it's normal. It seemed completely normal to me. And I left that environment, and I moved back home. I'm from New York as well. New guy in the back. Maybe we'll talk at the break. But I moved back there. What a terrible place to live when you're a crazy lunatic alcoholic. You know, I was in Manhattan, and I just thought, I got to get out of here. The problem is Manhattan. So I took off, and I moved to northwestern Colorado, right? Get as far away from that as I can. And about a year later, I thought, I got to get out of this place. It's crazy. And I moved to San Diego. But while I was in Colorado, it was the first time that I had a moment that I realized, maybe there's a problem. I remember I was living in a double wide, and I sat on the floor, and I had, the night before, just got out of control and hurt a few people real bad, emotionally hurt people real bad. They were counting on me. They expected something of me, and I let them down in a big way. And I felt just absolutely, the feeling that I had inside was like nothing I'd ever felt before. And it's because I grew up for, you know, up until that time, you know, 12 years or something, and I watched an alcoholic parent, and I knew that she was alcoholic, and I didn't think I was that, because that came home alone and got drunk and passed out every night, and that's not what I was doing. I was getting drunk and passing out with other people, so I must not be an alcoholic. But that moment, I realized, oh no, maybe I have that problem, but I ignored it, and I went on my business. But I had to leave Colorado, and I came to San Diego and came to the best place that an alcoholic would do to get better, Pacific Beach, moved there. And it just kept going. It just kept going. And that the intervals that I would stop myself and realize that I had a problem, they were getting shorter and shorter. And I got married, and we had kids, and life was good, I thought. But my wife started having some problems with my drinking, and so she told me that I should go to AA, and she connected me with a friend of hers who had a husband that was in AA. And I came to a couple of meetings, and I had no business being there. I didn't want to be there. And I had some bouts of sobriety, a week at a time, a month. One time I went a whole year and didn't drink, and I waited for 365 days. And when that day came up, and my wife gave me the nod, I was right back at it. And it just kept going. But I wasn't I saw myself as indestructible. I couldn't be hurt. Until that last day. My sobriety date is June 19th, 2011. And on June 17th, I was leaving one job and going to another, and it was my going away party. And I sat down, it was about 5:30 at night, and my boss said to the waitress, "Don't let this guy have, you know, an empty glass or without a shot in his hand tonight." And I knew at that moment, shit, I'm in trouble. Like, I know this is going to be a bad night. And it was the worst night of my life. It was, because it continued through the next day. It didn't stop. I understood when I got here about an alcoholic, that I was an alcoholic for sure. When I read the part that says, when you start drinking, you can't stop. You lose control of your ability. And that was like this flashback to that last night. That night ended the next day, and it ended with me getting thrown out of my house, and I lost everything that was important to me, my wife, my kids, respect, dignity, all of those things. And that was the first experience that I had with God, because I was crying, and I felt a willingness for the first time to do something about it, to do something, make a change. And I never felt that before. And so I went back to AA willingly, and I was completely scared. I sat in a room like this, and I sat by myself, and a young man sat next to me, and he reached his hand over to me, and he said, "My name is David, what's yours?" And I told him my name, and he said, "Let's talk after the meeting." And after that meeting, I went outside, and I kind of hoped he didn't find me so that I could just leave. But he did. He came right to me, and he shook my hand, and he told me that there was a way out. He told me that I could be sober and live a great life. And I was like bushy-eyed and bushy-tailed, big-eyed and bushy-tails, that's how it goes. And I wanted to hear more of what he had to say. And he said, "Call me tomorrow in the morning." And I woke up that morning, and I called him. And he said, "Call me tonight." And that night, I made it through that day, and I called him that night. And he told me, "I'm going to be your sponsor." And I said, "Okay, sounds good. My mom tells me those are good." So he became my sponsor right away. And what he told me is, "We're going to jump into the steps, and we're going to do it quickly. And my job is to get you to go through the steps so that you can help another man through the steps." And I was really excited. He was so charged up. I had an issue that he was 23 years old. And I was older, much older than him, so I was like, maybe he is 20. Maybe I should get somebody that's a little older, more experienced. But I loved his energy, and so I just followed him for a while. And he had me reading the book and doing a step a week. Every week I had to do a step, and the first three I got through relatively easy because of the experience that I had laying on that floor the morning after. The willingness was there, so I was open. I was ready for God to do whatever God could do to me. But I got to that fourth step. And he, in the beginning, he told me how to get a notebook. So he told me in that notebook for that fourth step, write your columns and the whole deal and start with resentments. And I opened the book and I sat there and I wrote down my mom and I wrote down my wife. And that was it. I was stuck. Couldn't think of anybody else. I guess I don't have any resentments. And he said, "Then just go on to your fears. We'll come back to that." Okay. So I go to the fears and I go to write those down. And 4 hours later, I've got just sheets of fears. Loaded with fear. I never knew it. All that time that I thought I was indestructible in the outside world, I was defeating myself in the inside. And I was riddled with fear. I was scared and I was miserable all that time. But I went through it. And that opened me up to writing. It was the first time I really wrote in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he said, "Now go back and do your resentments." And my resentments flowed. And all of a sudden, the thing started clicking. He said, "Step five, I need you to tell me your deepest, darkest secrets." And I was ready to tell him everyone except for one. And the night before I did that, randomly this guy says, "Oh, you're doing your fifth step tomorrow? Here's what happened to me." And he almost knocked me over with what he told me. And it opened me up to tell mine that next night. And I did. And I told him everything I had. And I stepped out of his big, high truck, and I felt like I weighed less. I really did. I had less pressure on the earth than I did when I got in that truck. And that changed my life. That's all it took, was that moment. Because 6 and 7 and the willingness just increased. 8 came and I made that list, and 9 came and I still don't like to make amends. 9 was tough for me. But he asked me, "How free do you want to be?" And I said, "I want to be completely free." He said, "Well, then you got to go through the list and make every one of them." And so I went through the list. It took me some time, but I made it through that list and made my way to step 10. And when I made my way to step 10, it was a new life. It really was a new life, continuing to increase my spirituality and to help others. You know, that's really was, and working it every single day. And I'm grateful. I really am grateful. Today, You know, I found a definition of humility in this program, and that was continuing to be better in God's eyes. That's all that I'm trying to do today. I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. I'm just trying to be as good as I can in God's eyes. And a lot of times that means don't do what I think I should do, right? Ask somebody else first. And I need to do that. Just the beginning of this month, in November 1st, I moved back in with my wife 3.5 years later. Because that I committed that morning to say, I want to change everything. And I want that. It's good for me. I know that it is. I don't know why I haven't been able to pursue it and respect it and treat it the way that it should be treated. But I want to do that now. And I worked every day. And when I moved back in, it felt like I started over. Like, I got to start all over and I got to work with this even harder. Not just about that relationship, just about life. That I realize if I work hard and I commit to that and I help other people, and I really look for opportunities to help other people, that things are going to be fine. Whether my wife took me back or not, you know, whether the job lays me off or not, if I can help other people and believe that God's got my back because I'm willing to listen, it's going to be all right. I'm a grateful alcoholic today. Thank you again so much for having me. I hope to come back. Thank you.